Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. John is an open bodybuilder. Yes, I talked to the third person and just got done with Legion. We've talked about this before leading up to this open debut. And so Luke and I wanted to dive a bit more into the actual peak week that actually happened and just the stage experience, just to share that with everyone that listens to us on the podcast. I know a lot of times it's just straightforward education, but still sharing our personal journeys. And I think there's a lot of takeaways to be had, even though we've covered a lot of peak week topics. Actually hearing from us from a case study perspective per se, since it is myself, but I think there'll be some insights around what we're actually doing peak week wise, especially the decision process around it and the calls that are being made. So it's still so mystic and skeptical, and there's just a unicorn that we're trying to find during peak week, but it's really not as complicated. And now just doing an open show, being a bigger individual on stage, and have done the 212, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. So this is what we'll dive into for today.
I got to ask, before we dive into the like details of what happened with the peak, like, did it feel different being next to open bodybuilders on stage at all, or like backstage or anything along those lines? Cause I know, like, you say you don't look at other people, but you know, you're backstage, like,
absolutely looking at everybody. yeah, it definitely felt different. I mean, just for one, the first time I see these guys, right, I was like 2 days out at check-ins.
Yeah.
And when I go to a 212 show, like, I'm kind of a bigger 212 guy. Like, I'm just structurally a little bit bigger, tall, like a little taller. So you feel kind of like the big guy. Then I go to check-ins, and in check-ins, I walk in. There's, before we get to the room, right, there's all these couches out. I sit down to William Martin, who's,
massive.
He's a Brazilian bodybuilder. He's getting some hype going in the show because he's like, whatever. I think he's probably 6 feet tall and 340 pounds in the off season. Even in his like prep mode, he's a gigantic man. And so I sit next to him and like, you know, see his quad there. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then we walk into the check-ins and I'm looking around. I'm like this just short, just smaller structured guy, which you have no perception, right, of like how you actually look. But comparatively to 212, absolutely, you feel quite a bit undersized with all these guys. But a lot of them were a lot taller than me. Honestly, yeah. That was some of the big difference. And with height comes also like bigger structures in general. It reminded me back of when I did my last amateur show as my first time I was going to be a heavyweight, and we all line up the heavyweights. I'm like, I feel like I'm a foot shorter than everyone. And at the time I'm like, this is good because I'm like, y'all are the same weight as me, but I'm just way shorter. But this is different, right? Because you're taller and these guys are going to be a lot heavier than me too.
Yeah.
So, you know, fast forward to even lining up, you know, it's the same situation. Like the guys are, they're just big, big guys. And it doesn't faze me because I know all this. Like, you get on stage, you line up, and it doesn't matter. Like, we've seen Sean Clarita line up. We've seen Kamal line up, and it just doesn't impact him. So, so that it doesn't faze me, but it also is really cool to be amongst the big guys, right?
Yeah.
And being at that level. So it was more fun than anything than being like a psych out for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine just like, especially you were talking about like some of the coverage kind of leading in, like being a little bit more and just kind of like the hype for it. I can imagine just kind of like all of it coming together and just getting excited from there. But I think we could probably start some of this from the point that you traveled there. What day did you end up going over?
I was 3 days out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So walk us through. You land. What's that first day there look like? Where's weight? Because I know you said you picked a flight around 9 a.m. in that other podcast. And that's going to kind of set the stage for kind of some of the decisions made. Because I know you did some testing kind of leading in with that last pump up and stuff that we would want to cover. But do you remember kind of where you landed at and kind of what that day looked like?
Yeah, now I have to like look at my plan here because I'm like, what did I do that day? So flying was fine. There wasn't any issues around it. It ended up like with time change though, because we do fall back 2 hours or it actually ended up being really, really early for our wake time, which so going to the plane, I'm like, well, I'll just fast for longer and push those meals back to where I'm still in the same meal schedule and I'm still able to get the same amount of fluids in. And being that it is a travel day, just travel's just taxing in general. And I just made a full off day. So yeah, that was my only off day during peak week. My normal off day, I ended up training on, which was Tuesday. So, you know, heading into the show, for heading into my flight on Wednesday. Yeah. Just left it off day and then set the diet around what I knew was pretty close to like a maintenance amount for that off day, which was around 330 grams of carbs, 50 grams of fat and 320 grams of protein, which those fats and proteins relatively been held constant every single day. It's just the carbs that move up and down. And the day prior, it was still like, actually, I'm trying to look back through my diet here. So, yeah. That was... I'm looking at the wrong day.
It's okay. Yeah. Quentin can cut this.
No, it's fine. It was... Actually, Clinton, yeah, I do cut this. Let me find actually where... Yeah, so I know I said I flew out on Wednesday. It was actually Thursday. Thursday was 3 days. It's weird because it's a Sunday show. Yeah. So I flew out then, and that's my carb amount was actually around 300 grams. Like the day prior, as I was going into peak week and I started pulling down my step count, and also training was starting to get dialed back a little bit. Not as much, like my Monday and my Tuesday workout were relatively the same, but just a little bit dialed back in effort wise and slight amount of volume reduction. So that and the step count reduction, I was already seeing body weight start to want to shift down a little bit because I had been around 223, 224 in the morning and it was starting to move. So I kept moving food up as well. So like my last training day was around like 430 grams of carbs. So then moving into like flying out and being in an off day, I shifted it back down to 300 grams of carbs. And we flew out, we got there. I wasn't a big impact around like holding water or GI issues with the flight. I think because we got there early and I had time for it to settle out before like that next day of hitting the carb up, which I think you're like, oh, well, hey, 2 days out here and the flight, I might wake up. It's going to be an accurate look of where I sit. But actually I had some like decent sleep and ended up dropping to 222. I think it was 0.2 for 2 days out. So this was going to be my actual check-in day and also the start of the carb up process to begin. And throughout like the week and just assessing the look, what I usually train after two meals, and it's about, I get a little over a gallon of fluid in, I would pose and be around this like 224 mark. And that's where, man, I looked really sharp. Like I had great condition still, could get a pump easy and had a balance of like full and hard. So I was like, this is probably around the mark I need to be at. So waking up 2 days out and going to start this carb up, the plan was to go train after the like couple meals and just do the same thing over again. but I needed to like put the extra carbs in because I also saw body weight was like starting to trend downward, even though food had been going up. And I knew like I wasn't fully full. There's a level of flatness that was there. And I had 2 more days, right? So I could carb up hard this 2 days out and then make adjustments along the way if I needed to. So based on like even from Atlanta, you know, I had over that 18-hour window like 800 grams of carbs. So I had like a starting point idea of what I knew it might take carb-wise. And so that's kind of like where I kicked off my day on Friday, which start off with, it was like 110 gram of carb per meal.
Yeah.
And low fats, like six to 10 grams of fats per meal. And protein, I held constant. I ended up not really dropping it down, but the sources were made to have some adjustments. So I already started like 2 days out, I'd already pulled veggies down. Like they were out because I wanted everything going just to carbohydrates contributing to like glycogen loading and not slowing down digestion. I also moved to 6 meals a day.
I was because, gonna ask.
Yeah, I had been doing 5 meals, but to get that amount of food in, I need to start eating earlier. So in turn, like the protein amount per meal dropped, but for the whole day, it remained relatively the same. And then I used like the previous strategy I used in Atlanta with carbs, right? So it's like a rice base, and then the volume amount, once it gets like past 350 grams of rice, it's quite a bit. So that's when I start putting in like dried fruits. And I had like, luckily we were at a Homewood Suites, man. And so in the morning they have like a full breakfast down there. So they had like dried cranberries, which are delicious. Hell, to mix in anything at this point. They had raisins too, so I grabbed like some of those. And I even had some white bread that I would grab down there just for something different. And then rice cakes is what was getting used for most of the diet for the day. That second meal before training, the same thing I've been doing like for Atlanta was rice away mix. And then I would have a little bit of almond butter in that. And then I would have the like two Rice Krispie treats just for something that was pretty carb dense. That meal is pretty small actually. And a big thing here was making sure like I wasn't getting bloated. I could absolutely like control my waist and pull it in tight without any issue. And what ended up happening for that day is I ended up getting about, what was I hitting?
660, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 670 total.
Yeah.
Total carb wise. Weight came up to 229 that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was fine. The next day though, ended up dropping even a little lower in body weight after that much carb, so.
Really?
Not much. I was like 222.0.
Still.
Basically. And yeah, I had to consider some shifts that happened, right? So my legs were a lot less fatigued. They looked sharper. So I know I've dropped off probably some water just from like local inflammation in my legs. My GI felt a lot smaller from removing fiber. So that was some weight drop too. So even like the weight was relatively the same, I still think like some carbs stuck and there was an improvement in the look. So something to consider like when you are peaking and you're pulling fiber out, you're carb loading and you're seeing a drop off in fatigue with more detail coming in your legs, that if your weight does drop a little bit, really look at your visuals because it might've been just fine for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Something that I think that's interesting with this is kind of when we were talking about this pre-show, we were talking about how the hole wasn't dug as deep and partially expecting that to potentially not need quite as much food, but clearly it still did. Do you think, or I guess, what do you think potentially contributed to that? And do you think you were just that far off from being all the way full down at 212 that it's probably better representation of like actually fully being loaded here at the open relative to like having to suck all the way down?
I mean, definitely for Atlanta, like, there's just a time window to get full. And I know, like, I wasn't fully loaded for Atlanta. There's no way. Just seeing, like, what this look was. Now, I probably could have kept going, but to have the time duration after a carb load to then, like, tighten back up enough was going to be the problem, right? So with this, like, yeah, I wasn't as depleted, but there's still a level of depletion that is there. Also, like, you know, I'm like 10 pounds heavier than I was in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Not that I think that was a huge impact. Like, it's all just muscle now that requires more carbs. I don't think that's it. That's the impactor. So hard to fully say. I think it probably is more like in 14 weeks, I'm not like a completely different human in peaking.
No,
I just think I hit close to the same amount of carb load, and being that I wasn't as depleted, those carbs just weren't necessarily going to stick as much as someone that was like way sucked down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think those are the variables that kind of weighed into it.
So we woke up 2:22 Friday, or Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday, right?
Saturday. One day.
One day out. No training on this day, right? Maybe potentially a test pump up, but no training. So kind of walk us through what that day started and looked like.
Yeah, 2 days out was my last, like, true training session, which went to the local gym out there, which... It, they have a pretty cool gym, but now I'm like blanking on the name of it. I did more of like a full upper session. So, it was supposed to be more of I was kind of scheduled to be a pull day, but I still like just hit some laterals and, that was really it. So in addition to pull, and then I hit like a machine press, just like, just a little bit upper body, put that in. So, yeah. So waking up at that 2:22, I'm like, okay, weight came down. Like, I am going to probably need to put more food in today, but just started off the day what I had already planned with and just see where body weight moves. 'Cause 2 days out, I had been tracking my weight before every single meal and looking at the visuals. So I kind of knew how this was supposed to be trending along the way. And what ended up happening is I went to tan, I came back, and I was still like around this 225 mark, and I still had like only three meals left. And I put in the second meal, and I was still like close to around the same weight. So I'm like, damn, this stuff's not moving as much anymore. So for meal five, I'm like, well, man, I'm going to push this meal high. And I have to make sure I get to bed at like 2:29. And so that's when I bumped. That meal was big. It was 160 grams of carbs. I pushed fats up too. It was 30 grams of fat. And it did stick a bit more. I was up to like 2:27 after that meal.
Yeah, good.
But man, I was full. it was like I was waiting for meal six, like pushing it back and getting closer to bedtime was like, and then I started like getting in my head a bit because I'm like, yeah, it's tomorrow's show day. Right. So
yeah,
I don't want to wake up and be like blown out of my mind. Like this is should I even eat this last meal? And then also what I was noticing is that posing, everything started to feel just really full and tight, and I wasn't peeing as much. So I feel like this load is still digesting and I'm not seeing the full effects, of course. And so what if I wake up the next day and I don't pull down enough and then I'm like spilling. So now I'm like, now you're like going through your head of all these things that could be happening and planning out these meals. But I'm like, no, just stick to what you know that you've already been testing. So I did put in the last meal, but I did just eat till I was comfortable and not pushing it harder, because I was like, all right, I'll wake up mid sleep, I'll pee, I'll check my weight and then see just where I'm at visually. And I can then decide to eat more if I need to, or whatever, just go back to bed. So that last meal was like 80 grams of carbs, and it was just whey, rice and almond butter, just to have something like pretty easy. And it was okay. And It didn't affect my sleep either, being really full, going to bed. And so I did get up mid-sleep, and I had come down to like 225. So I'm like, all right, I have like 3 more hours to go. This is going to be fine. Like I'm going to pull probably another 2-3 pounds off. And I ended up, when I did get up, I was 223.
Yeah.
So had like a pound stick, which knowing like my best look is around this 224 mark. I'm like, all right, this is great. Because what I wanted to do is wake up and be a little heavier than I had been the previous day. So I have the ability to not eat so much on show day and have as much fluids that takes me to have to get up to that like best look. Because for me, it's like controlling my waist on stage is a very much a strong point, and it's a central thing in bodybuilding. So,
yeah, I think one of the things too with that is, and I did this weekend, is when you don't have to pull in as much fluid on top of a lot of food, just midsection control comes a lot better. And so like I had an athlete last weekend at Canadian Nationals where we knew cream of rice sat well with them, and we switched some of the carbohydrate sources over to cream of rice to try to get fluid through that so that he wasn't consuming as much like actual fluid intake on show day. And he said his midsection control relative to the qualifier the week before was just that much better. And it's interesting because I'm now like with these show day feedings doing everything I can to match fluid intake to where their best look is, but keeping it a bit further away from stage than I used to from a midsection control perspective for the guys that do have a little bit of trouble. And so I can imagine waking up 223, you're like, okay, this first meal only has to pull me up about a pound, maybe not even if you're going to eat twice. Cause you guys were on stage a little bit later, right? What was stage time for you guys?
Yeah, we were on stage at like right around 1, I believe it was.
So does that land around at 2 meals again?
Yeah, I think it was about 12:30 or so. Again, like my watch is off and I'm moving around to get glazed and get in line and pump up. So it's like all I know is my last meal was at 10 a.m. And then by the time I got to the hotel again, I ate at 2. So
gotcha.
Which I wanted that first meal and have like 90 minutes before I got on stage-ish. So it probably went a little longer than that, which is fine. I think maybe 12,
yeah.
Which timeline wise that would probably make sense. So the meal timing relatively, you know, worked out just fine. So my first meal went in at 7. Uh-huh. And I did my normal fluids I was having before the meal. So I was doing like 12 ounce of water, a 12 ounce coffee every morning. That's what I had been doing. So I was like, well, let's go ahead and put that in. And then meal 1 was just whey, rice, some dried cranberries, and almond butter, and then 8 ounces of fluids. So it was more condensed because I didn't have, like, any of the chicken that I normally would have. It was just that whey kind of rice pudding that I know sits really easy. 8 ounces of fluid with the meal, which was normal. But then from that point, I knew I could start controlling fluids down. Because off the previous day, if I have my normal fluids, it will push up body weight relatively pretty quick. And so I the safe route that I like to go with is start with like 50% of fluids. Mm-hmm. And man, like you could eat almost the same foods from what I've seen here. If you keep fluids low, like you can maintain that hard look. But if you start pushing fluids up along with that food, that's when you can soften up pretty quick. So, yeah, started with the 50% amount of fluids I would normally do between a meal. Mm-hmm. And then for meal 2, 10 a.m., so this is 3 hours later, between meal I had 25 ounces of water and an 8-ounce coffee. And I was 224 at 10 a.m. So I'm like, all right,
the money.
this is right on. I walk over to the – I don't walk over, but we go over to the venue. I had my normal pre-workout meal already packed up and planned, which was what I had the day before. Mm-hmm. And knowing like, okay, relatively, I just need to hold this, right? But I know if I don't eat the same carb load, I would probably drop. And I also need a plan to be able to be on stage for a bit, post through rounds, and handle all that. So that was 200 grams of rice, 2 Rice Krispie treats, 10 grams of almond butter, and 40 grams of whey. And still had just sips of fluid with that. And then going into stage, like I just had about 8 ounces of water from that point till like I would get on stage. And that was just keeping a water bottle with me. If I felt like I was starting to get parched and dry mouth, like I would take some sips. And didn't use anything as far as like special pump up mixes, like honey and I don't know, Starburst, or I don't know, what else do you want to put chocolate M&Ms?
Snickers. I saw Snickers backstage at Canadian Nationals last week.
Yeah, I was like, I already know these foods work. There's nothing else I want to bring in. What I did see the day prior is like using my normal like pre-workout, it was giving me some reflux and I was kind of belching. And so I was like, I'm just going to skip it. Like I don't need that in place either. So, sodium wise, I hit a little bit more sodium in that last meal, but I already knew like from the previous days, like I had enough in place that it was going to be
just fine,
be plentiful. So, got a reasonable pump with that amount of fluid, that amount of carb load. And you had to consider too, like, this was going to be, I knew it was going to be a longer posing because I think we had 21 or 22 guys in the class. Like this was a
big class.
It's a big class. So, and I was a little nervous because the day before I watched the Masters open go, and man, they left the guys on stage the entire time. So they put them all on stage. They would call each guy's name. He would do their individual, then go back to the diagonals. And then they would do comparisons and go back to the diagonals. It's like they kept them on stage the whole time. So I'm like, man, you got to stay like relatively decently posed. So I was ready for that. Luckily, they didn't do that. And
yeah,
we went up first for individuals. But keep in mind, you have 20 guys to go through. So if I go full-blown pump up like for this individual, I'm going to be sitting there waiting for the rest of the guys to go, then go out and do comparisons when it really matters. So I was a bit reserved in pumping up, got a little something happening, but then after coming off for comparisons is your chance. Like they're picking you out. They were picking you out already in the individuals, but especially for comparisons, like if you stand out in your lineup, it's a big deal. You want to get in that first call out. So, and it's pretty wild because when I came off for individuals, I take my phone with me and it's almost instantaneous. You can see how you look on stage, right? Like they were really strict about taking pics, but man, I opened Instagram. There's already pics everywhere of, of just me tagged in things, which I'm like, all right, that's how I looked on stage. Cool. It could help me make any adjustments or I needed. A few things around the stage is that tanning was backstage. So I got to see it before. Also, it was nice to have the show, the Master show the day before, because I watched the live stream. I saw how everyone was turning out, which the stage lights were crazy bright.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of guys were drying out on stage with not enough oil. So these are all things like I'm noting in mind because I don't want to be that guy. So I, with tanning, like Renee and I, she put a base coat on me 2 days out, and that worked great with the pro tan, like overnight, easy, super easy to apply. We actually probably could have done the whole tan ourselves and been confident with it too. One day out, I had them do like their normal 2 base coats. Then show day, they sprayed on the super dark. They're like, all right, that looks good. And I'm like, no, let me dry. And then I want another coat. So they're like, you're really dark. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, and so that was all in mind of what I was seeing guys going on stage too light. Then I saw Terrence Ruffin. He went out before me. And I was like, he was like the only guy that looked glazed up out there. So when he came off stage, I'm like, dude, what'd you use for your oil? Like, what? He's like, go over there where they're glazing and tell him he's like, there's this tub. It looks like Vaseline inside. He's like, that stuff just sticks on you. He's like, use that. So I go over there before I'm even time for me to go on stage, and it was just muscle sheen. And but it's like in this kind of like a Vaseline tub. Like, man, you put it on, it is like Vaseline. Like, this stuff is not going away. it's kind of a mess. And it's good and bad, because for one, like, my tan was dark on stage. I had good sheen. But that stuff, like, kind of smears your tan a bit. That's the only, like,
downfall.
Only problem that I saw my tan was that it did get a little bit uneven, which it is what it is. Mm. But I think better to be that than too light and not have glaze on. So those were a few aspects of like what I was watching and doing before going on stage to make sure that wasn't a variable, that was a problem. And for people out there, like, man, I would look at who's doing the tanning. If it's pro tan, then make sure, like, bring your own glaze and maybe have someone even back there with you, just because you don't want to mess this up. Just in case they don't have like the products that you normally use back there and you've run into issues before. But overall, like, that went well. And if you watch the live stream, like, man, we all looked washed out. Like, there's no comparison to like how it actually looked in person.
On stage, yeah, in person.
You know, that's just how it is. But anyway, back to actually walking out on stage.
Yeah.
It was wild. So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much fun. It was a great stage, and it really felt like a more of a grand production. The audience was super blacked out, and you had these bright white lights, which it was cool, because if you're on the diagonal watching guys lined up, it's just like these big bodybuilder silhouettes lit up with a halo of light around them, and you can't see in the audience. You just see bodybuilding silhouettes. It would have been such a cool picture to grab, but it felt like you were on a big-time stage competing. And for me, it was there's no nerves, man, at this point anymore. It's crazy, because I used to compete and standing in line, you start getting that heart rate elevation, you know, you start feeling like you're starting to get shaky. I just don't even have a touch of that anymore. I just walk out there and just feel like it's another day of posing in the gym or whatever it may be. And just so excited and just taking in every moment. So I'm not having to focus on remembering like, oh, what's my routine and hope I don't mess this up. It's like, it's just engaging in all the things that are going around, and I can remember vividly all this stuff too. So it's not that nervous experience just turns your show day into kind of a blur on stage. Uh-huh. But I can specifically remember like a lot of the moments now too, because I wasn't so like just frazzled from getting on stage, which it's a very confidence inspiring yeah. way to feel on stage. And lets you can fully present yourself calmly, but also confidently. And I felt like I nailed the stage presentation is what I knew I was doing every single moment along the way. And I felt like I could stay up there and go round for round all day long, because I didn't have that nervous energy yeah. just gassing me.
Yeah, I will say when you look at the pictures, like, and I did want to bring up the color. I'm glad you brought it up, because it was pretty standout-ish how good your color was relative to some of the other guys. Like, your eye just kind of drawn to it, especially with the sheen that you used. One thing that like I saw that was interesting from actually being at Canadian Nationals is they had spray guns for the glaze instead of like having people like dab it up. And so okay. I had my guys do the spray gun instead of doing the pad, and holy crap, it stuck like glue and it didn't smudge their tan up. So I was like, I don't know how you do that moving forward, but like if these companies have spray guns for glaze, like 100% change my opinion on like if you have that opportunity to use it, because like Braden dries out on me so fast, and I got him sprayed and we ended up being backstage longer waiting for the classes to finish and didn't go dry at all. So it was a really cool experience. But the reason I wanted to ask about the color was that self-tanning thing. And shout out to Alyssa from ProTan. I know she's got you on the self-tanning stuff. Starting 2 days out, did you rinse off any of those coats at all once you do that? Because the color was like standout different relative to a couple of the other guys on stage.
Yeah, so the first day, it was like early afternoon. We did one coat, and then immediately went right into a second coat. Because it's our first time doing it, so like we kind of put it on light when it should have probably gone on heavier to begin with. And then, yeah, I slept in it overnight. Before I was going into my next tan is when I rinsed. Mm-hmm. So you do want to rinse it off. It's not scrubbing. It's not like brushing it. It's just standing under the water, letting the water hit you and letting until it runs clear, then going over to get the tan done. So I did end up shaving like a lot earlier than I normally would have. But again, like on stage, you're not going to see that kind of difference unless you really, your hair just grows crazy fast, which you could rinse and then touch up. Like shave spots and then probably just have another rinse again, just to make sure like there's no like little hair and stuff all over you.
Right.
That's how you could go about that. All the other remaining coats though, weren't rinsed. So those would just stay on after. And then a point you brought up about the sprays, I think some venues don't
allow it.
Might not allow the aerosol because it like goes everywhere and people could slip. Right. Like we've used that, that it's like a hairspray bottle of oil before, like for horse competition, that can work pretty good. However, that stuff is super slick and it can, you could look like too shiny off that. So you have to just be careful with how you're using it. One thing they did too was they used like the bikini bite to glue your suit on. Mm. They put it on my like thumb. In like the crevice of my like pointer finger, so you're like, just don't let it dry. Yeah, so you can actually like grab on and not slip. Which is like, oh, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
because that stuff is crazy slippery, and when you are on stage, like that can be an issue. Yeah. It was an issue hitting my side chest the first time, because normally like how you go into it, you put your first leg, then you pull that facing the judge leg forward and have that adductor hamstring kind of grab onto the other leg and make sure it pulls it down right and hangs. Mine just slipped. And after my individual Clinton, I was like, what about posing? I was texting Clinton and Renee, and Clinton's like, tell John to like fix his hamstring. So I was like, oh, okay. I knew exactly what he was talking about. So I had to just go a lot slower and use a lot more pressure to make sure like I was really driving that hamstring down to the ground to pose it. But yeah, the aerosols could be good. It's just maybe like some of those spots you don't spray too heavy, like but right directly between your adductors, like just don't spray the shit out of those. But
yeah.
And then coming off stage, that stuff is kind of a mess too, because you're just so wet, man. And I don't really sweat much on stage, but it didn't matter. Like it was still like
everywhere,
kind of everywhere. So I had to shower after and then have my two coats reapplied of the super dark and then have the same sheen put all back on, which if you're going to use that, you need to make sure that the tanning crew has the time and capability to do that for you.
Yeah.
Cause these shows like I was back to the hotel by 2 and I had to be back for finals by 4:30, which actually earlier because I had to get a tan done. Right. So I was back there at 4. So it's only a 2 hour gap, like between when I got off stage or back to the hotel to when I went to finals. So for some tan companies, like they were already packing up. Like I just, luckily was able to coordinate with them to make it work.
I will say the tanning company had the things for the spray guns. So like they had it set up where you were in the tanning like covers so that glaze wasn't going everywhere. So like that's obviously something if the tanning company offers, take advantage of it. But, and Braden had to get his redone too, right? Rinse off, go get it redone and all that jazz. But so you get into that final call out and you get to be compared and you get back to the hotel And how much did you drop from like pump up and posing and 2 o'clock before finals? Because I'm sure you dropped off some.
I did, yeah. So that's one thing that Luke and I both do, like with our athletes, like scales go everywhere with you to give you some better data to go off of. Like, and I had someone ask me that follows us, like in about the scale. And he's like, "What about, you know, the look changing even though you're at the same scale weight?" It's like, yeah, for sure. Like, we never lose sight of the visuals, but the scale is still a great tool to utilize because from prejudge to just getting back to the hotel, I was 223.2. So I had a 0.8 pound drop from just expenditure during the show. So what I put right back in was 12 ounces of fluid. So that would bring body weight up to 224, rehydrate first, then follow that up with like the same meals that were holding my weight around that. So I already knew my pre-stage meal relatively what that would do to weight, because before I went on stage, I was right around like that 224 mark. And so I had one meal, and then between meal, I had a 10 ounce of water, 10 ounce coffee, so 20 ounce of fluids. Then my next meal was at 5 p.m. Again, this was probably about 2 hours before going back on stage, which I was 224.2. So I was like, well, I'll just put the same pre-stage meal in I had before. It made it really easy because I was 224 before meal two and going stage for pre-judging. So it was like just kind of a rinse and repeat kind of deal. So just had the same meal, had some fluids with that meal. Then I just chilled out and drank as I was feeling like just dry mouth, and went out on stage for finals and
did your thing,
did my thing. It was really exciting in pre-judging. Tarek does call outs a little different. So he had the comparisons, did a first call out, then took guys off, then had a second call out, and all the call outs. Then he brought back out the second call out, right? Which would be fourth, or not the second call out, but some of the fourth call out. So fourth, because you think this is going to be the confirmation, right? So he brings out fourth through like, was that seventh or eighth place? And at first, if you don't know what's going on, you're like, oh, man, like, I'm not in the confirmation. But he left off three of us, right? Like, me, Charles, and Justin. And so we're like, all right. Like, Justin looked over me, like, fist bumped me. Because he's like, yeah, like, we're in it, right? And so then he does, like, the top three, like, confirmation, which was so exciting, man. Just to know you're in it. For one, you know you're in the first call out. That's exciting in itself. But then to be like in the top three, you're like, oh man, I fit in here. Like, you know, that's, it was kind of the unknown.
Yeah.
Kind of know, but kind of don't know. So to be on stage and seeing that all transpire, was just exciting and a ton of fun. And then to come off stage and see your picks, those moments where you shock yourself, you're like, wow, I look like that on stage, are so gratifying and just fun to see. I had a figure pro do her pro debut as well. And she's not like an extremely experienced competitor. So how they did the call outs, she came up to me, you know, smiling and excited. Right. And I was like, do you know what happened? I was like, you're in the top five. She's like, I'm in the top five. I was like, yeah. Yeah. She was like in the first call out, but they were pulled off like top three, then like brought everybody back in. Then they pulled off the fourth and fifth place potentially, then brought everyone back in. So it was kind of confusing. So if you don't know like how if you're not paying attention up there, which it can be hard to, there's so much to think about, you might get lost and what actually even happened out there.
Yeah.
But to come off stage and like to see the excitement even for her and for myself, it was all just a really fun show experience.
Well, I hate to bring it up if we're not privy to the information, but where's Open John going next?
Just open.
That's like it. Show all season.
Yeah. So luckily, I ran into Tarek, the head judge, at the restaurant we went to post-show. Because, like, Lacey, my figure pro, her boyfriend was like, "Hey, the head judge is sitting over there." I'm like, I didn't get to talk to him after the show. There was just so much going on. So I'm like, I wonder if I can just like ask him without being that guy that interrupts their dinner. So I knew one of the other guys, I think he's the Tennessee state chair. He was sitting there. I'm like, "Oh, hey man, how's it going?" And like Tarek looked up. He's like, "Hey, you did great today." I'm like, "Yeah, by the way, what would you think I could improve on?" And so I got to pick his brain a little bit, and he was very encouraging, and it was nice to hear. He's like, "Man, right now you could go win an open show." He's like, "I know you'll be at the 2024 Olympia." Like that, Tarek El-Gundy, right? So I don't know if you know how he talks, but he's like a news reporter, man. Like, yeah. You know, he's like, "In the 2024 Open Olympia, John Jewett will be there." Like, this is how he talks, right? So it's fun. But he was like, don't go and add so much size you lose your waist. Because so you made a big emphasis, and anyone listening, like, this is the point I would really want to listen to you listen to, is that he's like, "We can't stand seeing guys' waist not controlled on stage, and also them getting so big that they lose that taper." He's like, "This is essential to keep intact." He complimented like how good my waist control was, and you could tell, like, he's like, "You're very mindful of it." So there's a huge emphasis of these guys are always watching your waist. No matter where you are on stage, they're paying attention to that. If you're in waiting for your award, who got first or second, control your waist. You know, anytime on the sidelines, like, you need a waist control and breathing strategy at every point. How are you going to breathe to control your waist at this point, between turns, when they tell you to relax? You need some strategy so you don't get gassed and you can keep holding your waist, and, you know, because it is such an important point. So he's like, "Don't lose your waistline." He's like, "For the open," he's like, "Now you just kind of need more overall size to build out the X frame." He's like, "There's not some standout weak body part." He's like, "So it's like a back to a general training approach, really." He's like, "More quad sweep, more lat, more delt." And because that's where Charles and you know, any of these guys would overpower me, right? Mm-hmm. Charles had a good X frame, a very small waist that flares out to quads, and he's wider in the clavicles than me. So his silhouette has more of that X frame build. It's like, you know, maybe I had a slight bit more condition, but it wasn't enough to overpower that factor that Charles brought. And for me to bring that, it just requires building a bit more size. He did mention, like, he's like, "To have had tried to, like, beat Charles," he's like, "your condition," he's like, "it was good. Don't get me wrong. You had some great condition, but it would have been so over the top that it would have overpowered that aspect." He's like, "So it was close, you know, but those were the tips moving forward of like, hey, just build a little bit more, but don't let your waist go, because you don't need much more." So moving forward, that kind of guides my decision process. So I'm not doing the 212 Olympia because I'm about getting better, and I see that I absolutely have a shot to be in the open, and seeing just how much more reception we get from competing in the open, it's just, to me, it's the pinnacle of bodybuilding. Like, 212, absolutely, like, there's a place for it, but we just don't get the attention in 212. And we all know, like, the pinnacle of physiques is open bodybuilding. You have to be the most muscular, have the most muscle, it takes the most time, you have to be the most conditioned. And so, like, that's still seen as like the ultimate competitive stage for me, which if I have a shot to be there, absolutely, I'm going to take it. Like, it's not so far away that it doesn't justify taking the risk to do it. So the 212 Olympia is out. Romania was like in 5 weeks, but it's 5 weeks that takes away from my ultimate goal of being the best open bodybuilder I can be. And then what can I really do in 5 weeks? Oh, maybe I can just get a little bit more condition, I guess. But what if the same situation happens? You go all the way to Romania, you get a second or a third, then you lost that time period. But also, it qualifies me for next year, so I might as well take the time now and grow and just do a show later in the year and try to qualify then. So Romania just didn't make sense to go all the way over there. And if it was like 2 weeks, that might change it, but it's not. So we're going to go just into off season now and grow, then plan out some shows for next year. I need to see when the calendar comes out, what that actually looks like, but it'll definitely probably be as far back as I can push it, but giving me a chance to hit a few shows.
Yeah, I saw Center Podium already released a few of their shows for next year, so they're coming out already. So
I would do Legion again. Like, it was that great of a show, and damn, I want one of those superhero trophies.
They're really cool, man. They're really cool.
They are.
Yeah. So, well, I think that wraps it up, man. I'm really excited for you. I know this will probably be one of the most fun off seasons you've had in a while. Just no reins. Just do what you need to do and train hard and have some fun. And I think last off season was pretty close to that, but you still kind of had 212 in the back of your mind. And this should be really interesting to see some of the training videos in a couple months.
Yeah, I think last year, like, it was a solid off season, and it was like gaining back size, right? That yeah. I think I probably lost over time and then some, because now I'm like went way beyond the 212 mark. So to actually have a bit more time to go fully in, you know, I think people get so unrealistic with stage weight. Like, I had someone yesterday be like, "Are you going to be like 250 on stage next time?" Like, dead serious, right? Like, I don't need to be 250 on stage. And I think that's also a crazy amount of size to gain for the time duration. Yeah. So it's like, man, like 3 to 5 pounds of stage weight goes very, very far and is also a realistic amount to go for the time duration that I have. Like, keep doing that over a couple of years. Like, that could be an extremely competitive bodybuilder. Like, I think there's a lot of guys where for open bodybuilders, the stage weights are just way less than what you think they would be, especially for these 212 guys that have moved in the open. Like, some of these guys are still like low 220s. I wouldn't be surprised if, I think for Derek's first time out in the open, he was like right under 230. And now maybe he's a little bit over that, but it doesn't matter. It depends all on the visual, the look. So you don't think you always need to be like bigger is going to be better, because if you lose your taper and your waistline, you're a worse bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. So it used to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to get as huge as possible. I can't even think like that. It's like being strategic to put size on and making sure like I'm a better bodybuilder, not just a bigger bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. But either way, it'll be a ton of fun to just have great training performance again and eat more food and just not have that weight restriction. So yeah. I'll really look forward to it. So anyway, everybody, thank you for tuning in, and appreciate everyone that followed along my open debut journey. And when I actually have the shows picked, we'll let you know what those are, and we'll talk to you next time.